Our gospel this morning begins with this phrase, after he had fed the people. If we recall from last Sunday, we didn't have the normal course of readings. Because we celebrated the Feast of the Transfiguration, there were special readings for that day. If it had been the regular Sunday, we would have had the passage of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, where Jesus, with just a few pieces of bread and a couple of fish, was able to feed thousands and thousands of people, and they ended with more than when they began. This great miracle, that one way we can say that Jesus was showing that he had power over natural elements. And then that will lead us to today's gospel, where once again, with Jesus walking on the water, we see that he has control, he has command over the natural elements. But if we remember last Sunday's gospel, maybe there's a connection there anyway. Because what happened on that mountain when Peter, James, and John saw that glorious vision with Moses and Elijah, the Elijah who we had in the first reading? What happened when Peter wanted to stay up there? When the Father's voice came thundering from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And so we were able to reflect on the posture of our heart and what are the things that we're listening to? Who do we give our attention to? Who do we allow to dictate the thoughts in our mind because of the things that we listen to? So maybe we can review this past week. Have we been more attentive to the voices we've allowed into our lives? Who has our attention? Are we listening to the voice of God? Because that might be the connection we can make with the readings today. That Elijah in that first reading, and Peter and the disciples in the gospel, encountering the Lord. Where Elijah, who last week was able to see the face of God in his full divinity, what happened today in the gospel? When the Lord passed by, he hid his face, not feeling worthy to even look upon him. But what's the context of this story? Sometimes we just get dropped into the middle of the story. We don't know what's going on. But Elijah, this great prophet, a prophet from the southern kingdom, the only faithful prophet that remains, serving under a king who has turned his back on the one true faith and married a woman who was an idolater, an infidel, and forced him to begin to build temples to the pagan gods. And so just before this episode from the first reading, we have Elijah in a battle with all the prophets. It was one versus 450. Elijah's still here, so we know who won the battle. But the queen wasn't happy, and so she was after him to take his life. And so Elijah's on the run. He had just gone through the desert and had given up and said, "God, I'm done. I can't take this anymore. Just go ahead and kill me. It's better for me to die than to be living this way." But the Lord appeared to him and said, "Get up and eat. Get the food for the journey, and then go to the mountain that we heard about in the first reading." Why is that important? There's turmoil in the life of Elijah. His life is threatened. There's chaos. There's confusion. And even in that encounter, he experienced the wind and the rain and the hurricane and the fire and all these natural things, all these glorious things, these grand things. But none of that was God. But in the midst of that, the still small voice was heard. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. That's important. He made them. Jesus organized this encounter. They also were fleeing because after he multiplied all that bread, they were going to make him an earthly king. So Jesus is fleeing from that the improper worship for the wrong reason. And he goes to spend time with the Father on top of that mountain to pray. But he made the disciples get into the boat. He knew where they were. He knew what they were going to encounter. And for hours, they were in that boat fighting against the storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, he walked by. And when St. Mark tells us this story, he tells us that Jesus wanted them to see him. It was his intention to be seen by them. They thought it was a ghost. You know, we've heard this story so many times, maybe we don't really get the depth, the immensity of it. They saw somebody walking on the water. I've never seen that. If I did, in the middle of a storm at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would probably be scared, even though I know this gospel. They were afraid. In the midst of the storm, turmoil, chaos, confusion, the still small voice of Jesus, "Do not be afraid, it is I." These two characters encountering the Lord in the midst of the chaos of their lives. What about you? Where's your heart this morning? What's going on in your life? What battles did you face just to get here to Mass today? What kind of chaos and confusion is going on in your family? We know about the chaos, the confusion in the world. Are you able to hear God's voice? And what about in your heart? The anxiety, the worry, the depression, all those things that we try to hide from the world and put on the good face. Are you able to hear God's voice? Or are we waiting for these things to pass? Because this isn't my season in life right now. But when this thing finally happens, or when this kid graduates, or when that thing finishes, or when this happens, then I'll be able to hear God's voice. But today, no. There's just too much going on in my life. Jesus made them get into the boat, and he wanted to encounter them in the midst of the storm. How many opportunities do we miss of encountering the Lord because we don't think it's the right time, or his time isn't my time? And I put my time first. So many of us close our hearts and our minds to the voice of God because we're drowning in the noise of this world and in the pains of our heart. But it's absolutely necessary to train ourselves to hear God's voice. Because more times than not, he comes to us in the chaos because our lives are chaotic. Our world is chaotic. We can't wait for there to be perfect peace in order for us to encounter the Lord. The Lord's the one who brings the peace. Are we able to hear his voice? Or do we drown it out amid all the noise, all the technology, all the distractions in our life? Do we hear God's voice? Do we know his voice? That beautiful encounter with Peter. "All right, Lord, if it's you, then let me walk on the water too." Maybe a little brazen, a little too quick on that one. I mean, if I was one of the other 11, that's what I'd be thinking. Who does he think he is? He can't walk on water. But maybe secretly wishing that I could as well. It's the internal struggle. But this boldness of St. Peter is an example for all of us. But this expectation of Jesus that we do bold things for him. That we don't just stay in the comfort zone of our boat. But when he calls, we go. In the midst of the storm. And while he was not looking at the storm, he was doing great. But as soon as he remembered where he was in the midst of the storm, he began to sink. But as soon as he began to sink, what did he do? He cried out to the Lord. How many of us beat ourselves up because we begin to sink? Because I made a mistake. I committed a sin. I didn't do everything just right. God's tired of me right now. I need to get my stuff together. Then I can call out to him. That's not what the scriptures tell us this morning. Immediately he called out and immediately he answered. "Oh, you of little faith. Oh, little faith one. Like we call Tom, Tommy, or Tim, Timmy, or Jim, Jimmy. Oh, little faith one. You were so close. Why did you give up? Any of you parents who've taught your children to ride a bike, and they're doing so well, and then they kind of realize what's happening, and they kind of stumble, and they fall. And you lift them up, and you say, you were doing so well. Don't give up. Keep trying. Maybe that's what Jesus is telling Peter in this. He was so close. Don't give up. Why did you doubt? And that Greek word there for doubt is double-minded. Why are you double-minded? Why can't you focus on me? Why don't you trust me? The Lord's inviting us to a deep act of faith, a deep act of trust today. In the storms of your life, you're not abandoned. In the chaos and the confusion, the Lord is there. Do you have the courage to cry out to him, to walk in faith in the midst of the storms of your life? Or who do you cry out to for a little bit of comfort? We very easily hear those voices. Come here, I can soothe you for a moment. I can give you a little bit of pleasure. Here, try this, do that. When the Lord simply says, come. Come to me. Can you hear the voice of the Lord? Or are you drowning in the waves of the storms of your life? The Lord is calling you to freedom today. But you don't need to wait till your life is perfect. But today is the day that once again you say yes to the Lord. I mean, can you imagine what that was like for Peter? To be walking on the water. Have you walked on water? Have you taken a step in faith and done great things for the Lord? And maybe not great things in the world's eye, but overcome your fear and done one thing, trusting that the Lord is there calling out to you. This is what he wants for us as disciples. This is what the world needs from us as disciples, as followers of Jesus, to be making bold declarations and bold proclamations of our faith, of doing the right thing, of saying the right thing, of holding fast to the traditions of our faith amidst the impending doom storms that are out there. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus went into the boat with them and everything was calm. One of the ways that we can look at the boat is the church. We kind of have the image of it with our structure, but lots of churches are built like upside down boats on purpose. Because it's in the boat, in the church with Jesus, when things make sense. When we leave the boat, it's chaos and confusion. Last week, the Father told us to listen to Jesus. Today, he's crying out to you. Can you hear his voice? Amen.